This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa Damore, author of two New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of two. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to Ask Lisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 28, Bored, Sad, and Smoking Weed. How do we talk to kids about drug use? So every night, my husband has been mixing these incredible cocktails.
Really?
Like, I feel like we're on vacation. It's this book. It's by a man named Derek Brown, who owns the Columbia Room in Washington, D.C. And the book is called Spirits, Sugar, Water, Bitters, How the Cocktail Conquered the World.
Wow.
It's fabulous. I'm telling you, every night, it is the most perfect cocktail. We have done old fashions. We've done gin martinis. It's been great.
All right. I'm impressed, because if I have a half glass of wine, I need a nap.
I know, because you're so small.
I've never, like, alcohol and my body have never been very good friends. It's just how we are. Okay, so you want to know what I'm doing every night, Rena?
Yeah, tell me.
I am watching Call My Agent, like you told me to.
What do you think?
Well, I love it. And here's the thing. Okay, you know I live in Cleveland. We are freezing our butts off here. It is so cold. And I'm a little bit obsessed with staying on top of my steps, because I'm finding that making sure I'm walking enough helps me feel better in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it is so cold outside that I'm struggling to do it. And so we have a treadmill in the basement. And the beautiful thing about Call My Agent is, because it's subtitled, I can easily do it on the treadmill, because the treadmill's really loud. And so I can read my TV show while I walk on my treadmill. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. The whole point of what I thought about watching a subtitled series is you have to focus. Like, you can't multitask, but you just blew that one out of the water.
Yes. And I'm getting my steps, though it is quite literally this morning, it was 7 degrees. So
I know.
I cannot wait till February's over. All right. What do you have for us this week, Rena?
So we're talking about alcohol and when is too much too much. You got me thinking about substance abuse. And then we found this letter in her inbox from a mom talking about drug use with her child. And it says, Dear Lisa, having a son who's 14 and who went into freshman year during this pandemic has been really difficult. My son's group of friends began experimenting with edibles and smoking pot the summer of 2020. We thought it was safe and good for them to be outside riding bikes and skateboarding with masks on, of course. Little did we know they were experimenting with drugs. One of his close friends has really gone overboard. His parents found his vape pens and joints and all his paraphernalia. They have even walked in on him smoking pot in the living room and smoking in their bathroom. I know they've tried consequences, but nothing seems to be working. The boys are used to having basketball practice, other clubs and sports that they did most days after school and sometimes on the weekends. And now they do find themselves bored and with nothing to do and not much to look forward to. I think a consequence of the pandemic is really helping spur drug use, maybe even drug use at an earlier age. Please, what should parents do to put a stop to this before it gets even more serious? Oh, this letter hits on so many points. The boredom, the sadness.
And the way in which the pandemic can kind of set the table for drug use to begin, and then as this person mentions at the end, to maybe really grow out of control, which I have to tell you, Rena, when I started to think ahead last summer, as I was thinking, okay, this pandemic looks like it's sticking around for a while, like, what should we really be worried about? Kids getting deeply involved with drugs, or even trying drugs and then getting stuck on drugs, was probably that and depression were my number one and number two concerns. And it is in the narrowing. It is in the not having much to do. And I started to worry, and I remain worried. I mean, if a kid isn't going to school physically and the parents aren't home, there are a lot of kids who, if they were at school, would not smoke pot all day. But if they are left to their own devices at home and they're bored and they, you know, no one can really tell they're high, they will smoke weed all day. And that terrifies me. Absolutely terrifies me.
So what should this parent do at this point, right?
Well, we have two different levels here. So we have the person who wrote the letter who's on it in a way, right? You know, sort of like didn't realize I'd be doing edibles, you know, thinking about it a lot now. And then we have the description of the kid where in the family where it sounds like things have gotten out of control, where there's use and it's unabated. So the first question is, what do we do in the pandemic? Like, let's say there's a genuine reason to worry that a kid is thinking about getting involved with drugs, already involved with drugs, and we are under pandemic conditions where clamping down on this might be really hard, you know, especially if you can't supervise in a meaningful way. So the first thing we do is we just talk about the dangers of drugs. And like, I want to spend some time on that. But if it's already past that point where use is underway, parents are finding stuff, parents know it's happening. And I would encourage parents to take it very seriously early and often, reach out to their pediatrician and find out what's available in terms of clamping down on this, maybe drug treatment programs if necessary. And the stepwise process I would do, actually, if a parent's worried that it's already well underway, you can work with your pediatrician around getting your kid tested, you know, urinalysis on a weekly basis. And so you can say to your kid, you cannot use drugs, like full stop, you cannot use drugs. And we're going to start testing you weekly. And if you don't stop, we'll take it to the next level.
You know, sometimes in hospitals, when an alcoholic comes in for some other issue, the doctor will prescribe beers or alcohol because they're so addicted to that, right? Is there ever a point where you just, it's a kid, right? You just cut them off cold turkey? Like, how does this work?
Well, certainly for something like marijuana or nicotine, right? Because parents are also worried about vaping. They should just stop. I mean, there's no withdrawal that is so ornery that it's dangerous. It is true that for people who are really, really out of control alcoholics, an abrupt stop can be dangerous. And so when we say detox for like very severe alcoholics, that tends to happen where there's medical oversight just because the body is so thoroughly adapted to that level of alcohol. But an abrupt stop on, you know, marijuana, nicotine, alcohol for a teenager should not be a big deal. Like, it's going to be a big deal to the kid, but it should not be something that is medically ill-advised.
But, you know, you tell a kid not to do something, especially at that age, then they hide it behind your back, right? They I mean, I see the drug testing, I get that. But what is the best way to go about this so they really stop and they get it and they understand? How do you talk to them?
Well, this is really, I think, gets us to that broader question of like, how should we talk to kids about drugs, right? With or without the pandemic? And my view on this is exactly in line with what you say, which is at some level, they do have a lot of power to experiment. And certainly, you know, in the pandemic in its own way, because, you know, we have jobs, we have to go to work, you know, they can do stuff during the day. And then, of course, post-pandemic, they leave the house, they go all over town, they can do things. And so for me, the approach that we always want to take when drug conversations come up, and this is, of course, presuming that you're already not, you know, far down a dangerous road, is to talk about it from a medical health and safety standpoint, as opposed from a don't let me catch you, it's illegal, you know, it's immoral standpoint. Because first of all, you're probably not going to catch the kid. Second of all, they don't actually care that it's illegal. Like, that's one thing I've learned about teenagers. The third is they may not share our morality view on this, if that's where we're coming at it. But their health and safety goes with them everywhere they go. And they are, at the end of the day, fundamentally responsible for keeping themselves safe.
It's so interesting to hear you say, talk to them sort of about that health, moral, not so much moral, but health and safety. Like, I am the Nancy Reagan, just say no to drugs generation, who she launched this huge campaign. Remember the buttons, just say no to drugs. And not that everyone listened to that, but, you know, it was a huge campaign.
Nice idea.
Great idea in theory, right? But why does that work? The conversations with kids who come in to talk to you that might be addicted, what do you think really works and gets through to them to get them to change their behavior?
Well, so if a kid's really addicted, right, or really in trouble with drugs, alcohol, anything, I will say, look, it's your job to take good care of yourself, and you're really struggling to do it. If you can't do it, then as responsible adults, we have to help you do it, right? We have to help you stop. And that becomes the rationale for things like drug treatment, upping drug treatment. And I can tell people right now, even in a pandemic, drug treatment centers are figuring out how to do their work. So don't feel like that's off the table right now. But there's also the reality that by, you know, depending on where you live, by 8th or 9th grade, your kid's going to come home and talk about other kids smoking pot or experimenting with stuff. And for me, this is the golden moment to start to have this conversation. And our instinct in that moment could be the Nancy Reagan, like, well, don't you ever, don't you, you know, just say no. And that's okay. But what's hard is they're still curious. They're still seeing that those kids are, you know, they didn't burst into flames, you know, so they remain open. So what I have done as a parent and also a clinician is when I hear about kids talking about other kids using, which is a really common thing, and how they open the conversation, I will say, ooh, that makes me so worried for them neurologically. And then I will do my thing where I'll say, look, here's what we know. Until age 24 or 25, the brain is still developing. And we know that drug use, marijuana use, can harm a developing brain permanently. And I've even said to kids in my practice, have you noticed that the kids who are smoking a lot of weed are kind of fuzzy? And they will say, yes. And I will say, that is what I'm talking about. It actually gets in the way of neurological functioning, both short-term and potentially long-term. And so for me, the way we want to enter this is in some ways to say, look, if you're going to try a pot, whether you're my patient or my kid, I actually can't stop you. I mean, like, we really can't. But I really don't think you should, because you have one brain for the rest of your life. It is your only brain. You stand to do real harm here, and you're the one who's going to have to live with that impact.
Okay, you just sold me. We're done for the day. Thank you very much. that really got to me. That is really great to explain that to them. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. I love that my kids are in middle school because they're independent and they can do things on their own. But there are some things I just have to nag and nag and nag. I got Greenlight as a motivator. It's this fabulous debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and savings, while kids and teens are really able to build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. I love it because now they're taking out the trash, doing the chores that I want them to do. With the Greenlight app, my kids are learning how to save, even invest, and also spend wisely, thanks to the games that teach money skills in a really fun and accessible way. So millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's easy, it's convenient for parents to raise financially smart kids, and for families to navigate life together. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/askalisa. That's greenlight.com/askalisa to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/askalisa. My parenting hack is that I know every afternoon I've got about a 10-minute window with my kids before they're gone for the rest of the afternoon. So as soon as they come home, I like to have 10 minutes with them with some sort of a healthy, nutritious snack. That snack for us is Daily Harvest. We absolutely love their smoothies that are really nourishing and meticulously sourced and crafted. It's so easy. It comes in a paper cup. All you do is dump all the things into the blender, and you just fill up that paper cup with whatever water-based liquid you want, whether it's almond milk or cow's milk or just water. You dump that in, you blend. It could not be easier. We love the blueberry and cacao smoothie, and my favorite is the mint and cacao. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/askLisa to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/askLisa for $30 off your first box and free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/askLisa. So I finally got my laundry room organized, where all of the things on the shelves are in nice little containers. And I am so thrilled I don't have those plastic laundry jugs. I have switched to EarthBreeze, the eco sheets that are just like dryer sheets, but it's ultra-concentrated, liquidless laundry detergent. Earth Breeze is tough on stains and odors while really being kind to the planet and your skin. I love that the Eco Sheets are dermatologist-tested, hypoallergenic, free of bleach dyes and parabens. These tiny sheets can stop millions of detergent jugs from entering our ecosystem. In fact, 500 million detergent jugs end up in landfills and oceans every year. Right now, our listeners can receive 40% off of Earth Breeze. That's right, 40% off just by going to earthbreeze.com/AskLisa. That's earthbreeze.com/AskLisa to cut out single-use plastic in your laundry room and claim 40% off your subscription. earthbreeze.com/AskLisa. Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. So Lisa, would you approach this differently if we weren't in a pandemic? I'm talking about drug use, getting your kid to stop and confronting them. Is it any different?
I think I feel a greater sense of urgency about it in the pandemic because I think so much about what could kids do in the pandemic, maybe because of the pandemic, that has irreversible consequences. And for me, drug use is really, really high on that list. I also worry about eating disorders, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And so I do worry in the pandemic. I want parents to be more hawkish. I want parents to be less relaxed about it. And I think one thing that's interesting, you came from the Just Say No side of things, which I totally understand. I grew up in Colorado in the 80s, where even then, I think there was a more casual view about marijuana. Mm-hmm. And I knew lots of kids who smoked marijuana and who, as far as I knew, didn't have any bad outcomes from it. Mm-hmm. And so I will tell you, I came into adulthood with a more casual take on it. Like, oh, you know, kids try pot, it's not that big a deal. And it's only through practicing and seeing how dangerous it can become that I've become much more, I would say, rigid about, like, you don't want to mess with this. Like, you really don't want to mess with this. And really trying to impress that on kids. And one of the things I do, which is a little bit provocative, but, you know, it gets their attention, is that sometimes when I'm talking with teenagers, I'll say, okay, here's the deal. If it is your lifelong dream to try weed, here's what you got to do. Number one, get to age 25, right? Get yourself out of that neurological window where you could really do damage. Number two, go to a place where it is sold legally, right? So you don't put yourself in legal jeopardy by trying it. Number three, get it through a legal source there so you know what you're smoking. Because that's the other concern we have about, you know, illegally obtained whatever is, well, you don't know what you're smoking. Like, you have no idea what's involved in this, right? And you're basically, you know, spinning the wheel to see what you're smoking. You have no idea. And then I say, okay, so then number four, you can try it. But remember, you're still high. Like, you can't drive. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be in a situation where your judgment is required. And that way of articulating it really tries to underscore, okay, yes, you do not burst into flames the first time you try pot. Like, I'm not going to overstate the situation. But you need to think about this entirely from a health and safety standpoint if you are even going to consider it. And this is the only way, really, that you could consider it, I'm going to use finger quotes, you can't see here, safe thing, but you're still high and you still have to manage that. And you want to be really, really careful.
You know, Lisa, the other thing in this letter that really stuck with me, also not just for kids, but for adults we're struggling with is these kids find themselves bored and with nothing to do, not much to look forward to. I mean, We all feel this way, right? How do you address this? Bored, nothing to do, not much to look forward to.
I know. That kind of gave me a chill when you said that, because it's scary. It's scary to me. So another way we can walk up to this is to talk about it in terms of coping, which we've considered before, and to think about better and worse coping. So the problem with drinking and drugs is that they actually are a form of coping. You feel better when you're drunk or high, especially if you felt bad before. And so what is described here is using substances to cope with distress versus better coping, which is using exercise, television shows, contact with friends, going outdoors to cope with stress. So we want people to be very careful, I would say grownups and kids, about turning to substances for coping. Because here's what's actually convinced me in my clinical practice over time about how scary this can be. When people use substances to cope with difficulty, they get a short-term benefit. But usually, if they start to make a pattern of it, the substance use itself makes things worse, right? That they're having trouble sleeping, and so then they sleep in and miss class, or they're having trouble at work, and so they drink because they're upset about work, but because they're drinking, their work, you know, quality, you know, degrades. So the thing that is so frightening to me about drugs is people turn to them for help. They get short-term help, but in the, again, finger quotes, help, the drugs themselves start to worsen their quality of life. And then as their quality of life degrades and they feel worse, you know what helps them feel better? More substances.
Wow.
And that's the part where it strikes me as just a slippery slope that you're safer if you never get on it. Not everybody slides down it. One really, really guaranteed way to not slide down it is to not get on it at all.
So just for adults for a moment, you know, I was telling you, I love a cocktail now at night, you know, but I have one. And when do you know as an adult that you too are taking in, whether it's pot or alcohol, when is too much for an adult?
My favorite take on this is to think about, let's just say alcohol here, in terms of a relationship. Rena, you have a relationship with alcohol. I have a relationship with alcohol. Now, the question is it a good relationship or a bad relationship? And we can talk about it like any other relationship in our lives. So what you're describing is that your relationship with alcohol is at this point entertaining, fun, is not in any way undermining your ability to be healthy, live your life, do your job, sleep effectively, parent effectively. It's just making your life better. That's a healthy relationship with alcohol, and those exist. And I mean, I guess if you think like, okay, well, could an adult make an argument that they have a healthy relationship with marijuana? I imagine that could be true, right? If we held it to the same parameters and it was legal and they were, you know, we held it to the same rules. Now, I actually, it turns out, I have a healthy relationship with alcohol because my body doesn't like it, and so I just avoid it, right? So that's how I maintain my healthy relationship with alcohol. But if I were to drink more, I would feel crummy a lot. I would feel tired a lot. The next day I feel crummy no matter how. Actually, just disrupts my sleep is what I find. So I can't hang out with alcohol all that effectively and have a good relationship. So the question that we want to pose, certainly about alcohol, but then also about, you know, any substances, does it make your life better? Does it make your life worse? Net effect. And that's how we know.
That is a great way to look at it. When you want to bring it back to the kids here, you know, you're talking sort of about the legal component and it's no big deal, is how sometimes they justify it. How do you talk to them generally about sort of steering clear of marijuana and why they should do that?
Okay, so the legal thing, this is amazing to me. So, you know, over the last several years, many states have made marijuana illegal for people over the age of 18. And quite to my surprise, I started to notice kids talking about marijuana like, well, it's like basically legal. You know, like they just sort of, even really thoughtful, smart kids, I would actually do this test. I'm like, so what do you think about marijuana? Like, is it illegal? They're like, well, it's basically legal. And I'm like, but it's not. It's actually not. It's not in a lot of states, and it's not for you. And they're like, yeah, but it's basically legal. That it did actually, for a lot of kids, feel like a green light on marijuana when it became legalized. Though, interestingly, and this is a very important thing to say, I thought the underage use would jump a lot with legalization, and the data actually never bore that out. So for what it's worth, I was surprised by that. But here's where parents want to enter that. If they get into the kid being like, come on, it's basically legal, right? Most important thing to say is, look, there are a lot of things that are legal and still not safe. Cigarettes are legal. Tanning beds are legal, right? So don't confuse legality with safety. That's not how the government works. The government decides there are certain things we're going to just put on the other side of the legal line, knowing full well it doesn't mean they're safe. And so then, you know, what teenagers are about, what kids are about, they are about autonomy. They are about self-control. So I would then say to the kid, look, do not let the government decide for you what is safe and not safe. They have made it clear they will not enter that business fully. You are in charge of yourself. You have one brain that you're going to walk around with for the rest of your life. You guard it. Do not let arbitrary laws fool you into thinking that just because something's legal means it's an okay thing to do. That's the way to take up the legal question.
That is good.
Yeah.
Oh, you gave us so much to think about, from the brain to legality to cutting it off. But, you know, it's just without an end date on this pandemic, I just think that it's so easy to get sad, to get depressed, and feel like there's nothing to look forward to.
It is. It is. But it's funny, as we've been talking, Rena, I've been thinking about coping. I mean, yes, this is a coping conversation. Anytime we're talking about substances, we're talking about coping. And so what we have to do and keep doing is to recommit to using healthy coping, you know, not falling into, you know, coping that really could hurt us. You know, recommit to the walking, recommit to looking out a window, recommit to, you know, calling a friend. And even, you know, very exciting cocktails from time to time, right? Like that can be a healthy form of coping if there's no downside. And right now, you know, in your family, there's no downside. So enjoy that.
Mm. I don't know what I'd do without you, my friend, through this pandemic. I mean it.
I feel the same way. I feel this is like our relationship, and getting to be of use for me is deeply sustaining. And whatever else, I almost think the pandemic is making us dig in to things that we may not have cherished.
So true.
In the past.
So very true. I still do not cherish winter. I'd like to make that clear.
I'm pretty over it. Even me, I'm pretty over it at this point.
I know. So tell us, what do you have? We're going to do a book giveaway this week.
We do. We have a fantastic book giveaway. Okay, the book is called Thrivers, and it's by Dr. Michelle Borba. She is a total pro, decades-long educational consultant. And that's important, but really my highest compliment, she gets kids. She gets kids. And the book is titled Thrivers, The Surprising Reasons Why Some Kids Struggle and Other Kids Shine. Oh. And it comes out on March 2nd, but we have three to give away, our lucky winners. And if you follow us on Instagram, you will see the instructions for how to enter.
Perfect. Well, that sounds like a great giveaway. And you're right, go to Instagram. And I also want to say we have a new LinkedIn account. So follow us on LinkedIn, and you can do the same. Leave us a comment, and you're entered to win as well. So, Lisa, what do you have for Parenting to Go?
Anytime we find ourselves in a conversation with kids about risk behavior, focus not on catching them. Focus on them keeping themselves safe. And the way this should sound, if you're talking, let's say, about marijuana, and a kid says, like, what would you do if you caught me smoking weed? I think the answer to that question should be, listen, me catching you smoking weed is the least of your concerns. That is the least dangerous thing that could happen. Do not worry about getting caught. Worry about getting hurt. Marijuana, drugs, risky situations, you can get hurt in those, whether I catch you or not, and that's what I want you to focus on.
Thank you for having us look at issues in ways that we never would have, actually.
This is the benefit of getting to work clinically. I get to see all the ways things could go wrong, and I'm so glad to be able to help parents steer kids in a safer, healthier direction.
We're grateful. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.